It's time to bring to you today's message by Pastor E.A. Adeboye, the General Overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. May God bless you as you listen.
Give the Lord a heart welcome. They do the heart, but thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Well, I know there is someone here tonight that the Almighty God is going to touch. Now, if you are the one, shout hallelujah. I am confident there is someone here tonight who will never weep again. Now, if you are the one, let me hear you shout hallelujah. All right, then I know there is someone here tonight whose miracle is going to be the biggest. Now, if you are that one, your hallelujah will be the loudest. Shall we worship the only one who can perform miracles? Let's go before our Maker. Let's go before the Maker of heaven and earth. The only one who can never fail. As we sing,
holy, 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 holy is the Lord.
Worship him. Let's bless his holy name. Let's tell him he's holy, he's wonderful, he's powerful, he's mighty, he's glorious. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Tell him how wonderful he is. Tell him how glorious, how powerful, how mighty, how merciful, how dependable, how glorious, how awesome. Go ahead, worship the Almighty. Magnify his holy name. It's worthy to be praised. It's worthy to be adored. There's no one like him. He's mighty. Oh yes, worship him. Glorify his holy name. Praise him. Adore him. He's the miracle working God. He's glorious in holiness. He's fearful in praises. He's the only one who can perform wonders. Oh yes, let's bless him. Let's magnify his holy name. Let's bless the name of the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. He deserves all our praises. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Blessed be your name, Lord. Father, we just want to bless your name. We want to give you all glory. We want to give you all honor. We want to give you all adoration. There's no one like you. You are holy. You are good. You are glorious. You are powerful. You are mighty. You are everlasting. You are merciful. You are dependable. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. Father, we are here tonight. It is unto you we are gathered. Please surprise us. Solve all our problems.
Yes.
Amen.
Tonight, Father, break every yoke.
Amen.
And let our joy be full.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, well, let me hear somebody now shout one hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's quickly go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. It's a story there that is going to form the text for our little discussion tonight. And I believe, God, that even while we were speaking, because it is written that he sent his word and he healed them. As the word of God is going forth, you will receive your healings in Jesus' name.
Amen.
2 Kings chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 1 to 7. And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell." So he answered, "Go." Then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So he cut off his stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and took it. Now everything that Satan has stolen from you, you will receive tonight.
Amen.
Here we find the children or the sons of prophets, as the Bible called them, coming to Elisha and saying to him, "Sir, we have a problem. The accommodation has become too small for us." Let's start from there. You see, there are two categories of problems. Problems that I call good problems, and problems that we all know to be bad problems. Now, I pray that before you leave here today, you will have good problems. Now, what do we mean by good problems? I will just give you some illustrations. In this case, the people here became so many that their house became too small. That's a good problem. I believe, God, that By the time we come back for another Holy Ghost service, I don't know when that will be. It may be next year. It depends on the Almighty God. We will have a good problem because this place will not contain us.
Amen.
A good problem is the kind that you have in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. When the Almighty God says, I will open the windows of heaven, I will pour in blessings so much that there will not be enough room to contain. That's a good problem. I want that kind of problem. Is there anybody else who want that kind of problem? Let me hear you shout hallelujah. A good problem is the kind you find in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 25. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 25. The Bible said that when King Jehoshaphat went to pick up the spoil from the kings, the armies that came to fight against him, it took him and his army 3 days to carry the wealth into the treasury. That's a good problem. When you take your money to the bank and it takes the bank 3 days to count, that's a good problem. How many of you want that kind of problem? Let me hear you shout hallelujah. A good problem is found in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, if you read it from verse 1 to 7, the Bible tells us that Peter had fished all night and caught nothing. Then Jesus came into his boat, preached from his boat, and when he finished preaching, he told Peter to launch into the deep and to throw his nets to the right. And Peter did so. The Bible said he caught so much fish that he filled his boat with fish, beckoned to the other boat, they filled their own boat with fish, and the two boats began to sink. Now that's a good problem. Now I've always told my people back home, and some of them didn't believe me at first, now they are beginning to believe me. I know that here in Israel, your faith is bigger. The guide who's been driving me around told me that when we phone heaven in Nigeria, it is long distance. If we phone heaven from Israel, it is local call. So I know your faith is bigger because you are closer to the Almighty. This is Holy Land, right? Now, if you suddenly become so wealthy that when you want to take your money to the bank, you load a trailer. When your own trailer is full of money, you beckon to your neighbor to come with his own trailer, to come and help you. And then you load his own trailer with money. And as you want to begin to drive, you discover that the tire had gone flat because the money is too heavy. That's a good problem. Is anybody interested in that kind of problem? Tell your neighbor, it is me God is talking to now. Now that is the kind of problem these sons of prophets had. It's a very good problem. But there are bad problems. Sickness is a bad problem. But that's no problem with God, because he has a solution for bad problems. The Bible tells me, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, 1 Peter 2, verse 24, he said, by his stripes you were healed. So if you have a bad problem in the form of sickness, I just want you to believe God tonight that by the time you walk out of here, that problem will be over in Jesus' name. And poverty is a bad problem. Now, I know there are some people who believe that you need to be poor to get to heaven. Now, let me tell you the truth. You can be the poorest man on earth. If you are not born again, you will not see the kingdom. And you can be the richest man on the land. If you are born again and you will live holy, you will see God. Because the word of God is forever settled. Can you say amen to that? And believe me honestly, I have tasted both. I have tasted poverty. I have tasted wealth. I'm telling you, one is better than the other. Which one do you want? I thought that you people are so close to God, you won't want that kind of thing. The word of God made it clear that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Bible made it clear that I wish above all things that you will prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Provided you draw close to God, He has a solution for poverty. As a matter of fact, the Bible made it clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ became poor that we, through His poverty, might become rich. That tells me straight away that if any Christian decides to be poor, then he's selling Jesus Christ short. Because He had already paid for your poverty. He became poor that you might become rich. And I believe that somebody here tonight will suddenly release his or her faith and say, from tonight, no more poverty in my life. Is there anybody like that here? Let me hear you say amen loud and clear then. Of course, bondage is a bad problem. And you want to move forward and you find that you couldn't move forward. You want to make progress. Certain forces are drawing you back. Thank God for the message we've already heard. There is someone who can give you freedom. Not only is His name Jesus, His name is also called the Lord of Hosts. He has never lost a battle. No matter how tough the battle you are fighting, if you call on Him, He will give you victory. Yes, because when they call Him the Lord of Hosts, that means He's the one who is the commander-in-chief of all the hosts of heaven. And I'm telling you, just one of His own soldiers, one of His soldiers, will kill 185,000 soldiers, ordinary human soldiers, in one night. It is good to befriend such a commander-in-chief. When you surrender your life to Him, you have Him behind you. And I can tell you, if your problem is any form of demonic oppression or any form of bondage, you can begin to smile tonight, because by the time you walk out of here, you'll be free in Jesus' name. Oh, barrenness is a bad problem. And when I say barrenness, I mean barrenness in various forms. Barrenness could be inability to produce children. Barrenness could be inability to get ideas that will generate progress in your place of work, and so on and so forth. Jesus has a solution to barrenness too. He said in John 15 verse 5, He said, if you will abide in Me and My word will abide in you, I will see to it that you bear much fruit. And the fruit there includes the fruit of the womb. It includes success in your place of work. It includes fruitfulness in every sphere of life. And if you are just thinking that maybe the doctor have told you that it's impossible for you to have a child, listen to me carefully. This God that I'm presenting to you today is the God who said, with Me nothing shall be impossible. I mean, you know the story very well. When He told Abraham that his wife, Sarah, will have a child in 9 months' time, the Bible says that Sarah heard and laughed. The reason she laughed was that she was 90 years old and the husband was close to 100. She laughed and said, these people must have enjoyed our food. And instead of saying thank you and going, they are now cracking some jokes. How can somebody who is 90 years old become a woman? And as a matter of fact, the way the Bible puts it, what the lady said is, when was the last time that my husband looked at me and said, Sarah, how now? And if your husband does not come near you, how are you going to become pregnant? I mean, and the fault is not Abraham's fault. If you are 100 years old, I think you've tried. So Sarah laughed, and the angel said, why are you laughing? She said, laughter. I didn't laugh. Who would laugh at such a joke? And God said, you laughed. You laughed. Sarah, you laughed at me. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know that with me, nothing shall be impossible? Tell your neighbor, my own will not be impossible tonight. And they said, all right, you keep on laughing. We will give you something to laugh about. And that night, as they enter into the tent to sleep, Abraham turned to Sarah and said, Sarah, how now? And Sarah began to laugh. Old man, what happened to you? Well, I don't know. But since that man spoke in the afternoon, I just found that things are like they used to be. So they were there in the tent, and while they were doing what husband would do to wife, Sarah kept on laughing. Because she was saying to herself, the people outside must not know what's going on here. And then that very month, she conceived. And when the stomach began to bulge, the people around thought that she must have eaten extra rice. They were talking toward themselves. Look at grandmother. Grandma is overfeeding. And she had a laugh. So when the baby finally came, she called the name Laughter. There's somebody here today who will never weep again. Amen. If you are the one, say amen loud and clear. Lack of progress is a bad problem. It's a terrible thing to be in one spot for years. No progress in your place of work. Nope. Some of us don't even know what is called progress. Because our salary is fixed. In fact, we are thanking God that we can even hold on to that job. But things will change. Amen. From tonight. Amen. Oh yes, because the Bible says in Psalm 75, if you read it from verse 5 to 7, Psalm 75, 5 to 7, it said, and I'm summarizing it, it said, promotion comes from God. Now I'm telling you, God can promote anyone. I mean absolutely anyone. If you don't believe me, all you need to do is read your Bible. You wonder why when God said to Joshua, Joshua, you're going to lead my people to the promised land. Why do you think Joshua was trembling? Because Joshua was no other person other than the servant of Moses. I mean, if anybody comes to you and you are a messenger in your place of work and he said to you, brother, sister, you'll be the next prime minister of Israel, won't you shake? Joshua did not believe. Who are you talking to? God said, it is you. You will lead these people. And I'm telling you in the name of the Almighty God, I think I got that one in the spirit straight away, that there is someone who considers himself a fugitive. And you still be a national leader. Amen. You better say amen loud and clear. Amen. And when God decides to promote, who can stop him? He is the Almighty. That's why we call him Almighty. Almighty means he can do anything. He can do whatever he likes. In fact, the Bible says, when he speaks, it is done. All he has to do is just say, this is what I want. You know, God doesn't have to call a council to say, let us discuss, let us vote whether this thing should be so or not. He simply said, let there be light. What followed? There was light. And God is sending me to someone here tonight, and he's saying, you will be promoted. Yeah. All right. And now when God decides to promote, he promotes progressively. Why? Because the Bible tells us that he is the God of Abraham, God of Isaac and God of Jacob. Now, when you want to know what a man can do, all you need to do is sit down and study his name very well. Study his titles. When somebody says, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and God of Jacob, in one of the passages in the Bible, Jesus Christ was referring to this particular passage and he said, he's a God of the living. But there is more to it than that. If you study your Bible very well, if you read Genesis 24 and you read verses 34 and 35, Genesis 24 verses 34 and 35, the Bible says that Abraham was blessed by God and he became great. By the time you now get to Genesis 26 and you read from verse 12 to 14, Genesis 26 from verse 12 to 14, the Bible said Isaac became very great. By the time you now get to Genesis chapter 30, verse 43, Genesis 30 verse 43, the Bible said Jacob became exceedingly great. Now look at the progression. Abraham was great. Isaac was very great. And Jacob was exceedingly great. The moment God decides to promote you, he will be taking you higher every day. He will take you from glory to glory to glory. Am I talking to somebody here tonight? If you are the one, shout hallelujah. If it is man that is promoting you, there is a limit. If it is God that is promoting you, there is no limit. Because if man is promoting you, I've said it, if man is going to lift you up, he cannot lift you higher than his hand can go. But if it is the Almighty God that is going to lift you, the Bible tells me that his arms are everlasting arms. So when he picks you up and he begins to lift you, you just keep going. For a true child of God, the sky is not the limit. Because the hands of God goes beyond the sky. And if you want to know how long his hands are, all you need to do is just check what the Bible says. God says, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. The length of a man's hand is proportional to the length of his legs. How long are the legs of God? When he sits in heaven, his leg touches the earth. That must be pretty long legs. And now when he picks you with his hands, you know how far you can go. And I know that there's somebody here that one day will remember tonight. And will say, Pastor, you said it so. So shall it be in Jesus' name. All right. So these boys, these sons of the prophets, had a good problem. Now it doesn't matter whether your problem is good or bad. Just discuss that problem with God. He will give you a solution. And so the sons of the prophet went to Elisha and they said, sir, we have a big problem, a good one, and we want to expand our coast. Will you please grant us permission to build a new building? And there's a lot of lesson to learn from this, but because of time, we will pick one. All the plans that we will begin to make from now on, discuss them with God. Do I hear amen to that?
Amen.
Why? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, it said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In how many of your ways? All your ways. As a matter of fact, my advice to you is that before you begin to plan anything at all, seek the face of the Lord. So the reason why many of our plans fail is that we plan first and ask God to bless the plan. Instead of going to God and say, God, what is your plan? If it is his plan, that plan is already blessed. Discuss all your plans with him. In fact, Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, Psalm 37, 4 to 5 says, if you delight yourself in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. Not only that, he said, if you commit your ways unto him, he will bring it to pass. What does it mean by delighting yourself in him? It means just love him, praise him, worship him, adore him, do his will. And then anything that you want, anything you desire, you can be sure you get it from him. See, there's something about God that many of us do not realize, and that is this. God, and Daddy, I'm sure you understand what I mean, God is a perfect gentleman. When you treat him very well, he will say thank you before he goes. You know, if you go to a good hotel, there are not too many good hotels nowadays, but if you go to a good hotel, real good 5-star hotel, as soon as you get in there and you sit down, before anything at all, before they bring the menu, they bring you water to drink. I'm talking of real good hotels. While you are drinking the water, they bring the menu. And then they keep on serving you, bringing everything you need. And even after you finish eating, they still say, are you sure that everything is okay? And you say, yes. Now, if you are also a good customer, after you paid your bill, you put certain money under the something for the waiter. I think they call it a tip. When you serve God correctly, he will give you a tip. And I'm telling you, one tip from the Almighty God is enough to solve all the problems in your life. I've given you an example earlier on, the case of Peter. Peter served him. He released his boat for him to use. He waited on him while he was preaching. When he finished, he didn't say, just go to the beach. Thank you for the boat. Let me go. And I said, no. I too have to give you something. And what he gave Peter, sank 2 boats. When you delight yourself in the Almighty God, he will give you a tip. And just a tip from the Almighty God will heal you. He will bring progress in your place of work. He will bring fruitfulness. Just learn to trust him. Learn to worship him. Now, so before you move, even if you have all the money in the bank, before you begin to think of building that new house, discuss it with God. Now, after this, sons of the prophet discussed with Elisha, sir, we want to build a bigger accommodation. Do we have your permission? He said, sure, go. That one alone, we could talk about that for a long time, because it shows clearly that God has pleasure in your expansion. Elisha could have said today, what do you mean? You are supposed to be sons of prophets. Your life should be a life of hardship and everything should be military. Like, what do you mean you want to expand? But that's not the will of God. He said, if only you will do my will, if your soul will prosper, I also wish that you will prosper. The Almighty God wants it to be well with you. God doesn't gain anything when you are in sorrow. It does not glorify God that you are sick. And I'm telling you the truth. It will be difficult for you to win souls if you remain poor. Because if you go to people and say, come and serve my God, they look at you and say, the God who asked me to serve, he's not taking good care of you. Why should I serve him? And I'm sure the Bible says money has threat all things. There are a lot of things that you cannot do unless you have the money. I don't know how much you paid for this place, but I'm sure they didn't allow you to come in free of charge. That's why you are going to prosper. I didn't hear your amen. So they discussed with him, shall we go? He said, yes, go. Then one of the sons of the prophet happened to be very smart. He said, sir, don't just ask us to go. Come along with us. And he said, that's all right, I will come. It's a big lesson in that. Don't ever go anywhere unless God will follow you. Before you leave home in the morning, you better ask the Almighty God to come along with you, because there is danger in the way. And I know many of us are so busy. We wake up late in the morning, quickly dress up, and we pray a very special prayer. Good morning, Lord. You know I'm late for work. I see you in the evening. Then you come back at night, you're already tired. Oh, Lord, thank you for today. See you tomorrow morning. And you keep on going like that. No wonder many of us are going around in circles. No, God does not like to be treated as somebody who is secondary. He must be treated as someone who is primary. Do I hear your amen to that?
Amen.
And the secret of success is divine presence. If God goes with you, everything else will succeed. I mean, because if God is walking behind you and you are going on a journey and the devil sees you coming and he looks beyond you and he sees the Almighty God behind you, no devil is going to wait when he sees God behind you. He said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. Exodus 3, 10 to 12. He said, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt. Go to Pharaoh and tell him, you should let my people go. Go and bring my people. Moses said, Lord, I can't go. Who am I to go and confront Pharaoh? God said, the assurance of your success is in this. I will be with you. When Joshua was shaking, when God said, you are now going to lead my people, God said, don't shake. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Tell your neighbor, God will be with you. The moment God is with you, there's nothing you touch that won't prosper. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the secret of the success of the ministry of the Lord Jesus when he was here on earth was that God was with him. Acts of the Apostles chapter 10, verse 38. Acts 10, 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. If God is with you, the rest is easy. So these sons of the prophet said to Elisha, sir, you have given us permission to go. Thank you very much. But please do something better. Come along with us. And the man of God said, I will come with you. And then in verse 4, the Bible said, so Elisha followed them. He said, I will go. And he went. That tells you one thing about God. Anytime God makes a promise, you can be sure it will be fulfilled. Whenever God says, I will go with you, you can be sure he will go with you. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, Numbers 23, verse 19, he said, God is not a man that he should lie. That's a terrible testimony concerning us men. It means men can be liars. But God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Once he's spoken, he's settled. Once he had promised, you can be sure that promise will be fulfilled. In fact, the Bible tells us in Psalm 119, verse 89, Psalm 119, verse 89, he said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. See, when we talk about fulfilling promises, human beings at times fail to fulfill their promises for several reasons. Number one, some of them may not even want to fulfill the promise anyway. In other words, while they were telling you that they would do this, they would do that, they were lying. Thank God, God is not man. Number two, they may want to fulfill the promise, but circumstances beyond control. You know, like they are thinking that certain money will come and the money refused to come. or they thought they would get a job and they didn't get the job, or they thought they would be able to contact somebody and they were unable to contact. Circumstances beyond control. Thank God there is no circumstance that is beyond the control of God. Another reason why man may fail to fulfill his promise is that he may die. He may die before the day that he was planning to fulfill his promise. But thank God, God never dies. The Bible says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So when he promises, he is able to fulfill the promise because, number one, he has all the resources to do so. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He has all the power to do so. He said, I am the Lord God Almighty. He has the longevity to do so because he never dies. So when God says it's going to be well with you, you can begin to rejoice. And I know it's going to be well with someone here tonight. And now, so they got to the river and they began to cut down trees. And as they were cutting down trees, a particular axe head got detached from the wood and fell into River Jordan. A particular axe head, the axe that was borrowed. You know, the devil is a bad devil. I was sharing with those who came from Nigeria on this pilgrimage early this morning. I said, there is something that we call pure evil. Evil all the way. That's Satan. So if there's any of you here tonight that you still have anything to do with the devil, you better let go. You will never get any good thing out of the devil. He will only use you and then destroy you. If you don't believe me, ask Goliath. Oh, he was telling Goliath, go ahead, go and taunt the men of the children of Israel, taunt the army of the living God. I'm behind you. The moment the stone hit Goliath on the head, the devil ran. He left him alone. While they were cutting off his head, where was the devil? Now, there's a lot of lessons to learn from this too, but there is one important one, and this is this, that the best of plans can go wrong. You can do all the planning in the world. Everything may look correct according to the books. But everything can still go wrong. The very best of plans can go wrong. That is why you need God with you all the time. The Bible says in Psalm 127 verse 1, it says, except the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain that builds it. In other words, it doesn't matter how intelligent you are. It doesn't matter how many people you know. It doesn't matter the contacts. If God is not supporting a project, that project will fail. The beauty of it is that if he supports the project, nothing can make that project to fail. And whether we like it or not, sooner or later in life, we are bound to come across a storm or two. And don't believe those who tell you that once you give your life to Jesus Christ, there will be no more problems. That's not true. As a matter of fact, that is when real problems begin. Because before you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you are in the camp of Satan. Satan has you in his guard room. Anytime he wanted to destroy you, he knows where to get you. So he doesn't worry too much. You are already in. But when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you escaped. And then he will pursue you. But the beauty of it is, this time around, you have somebody who is greater than the one in the world. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, there will be storms. But if Jesus is in your boat, when the storm hits, you will never sink. No, you know the story. Mark chapter 4, from verse 35 to 41. Mark 4, 35 to 41. Bible told us about Jesus telling the disciples, let's go to the other side. king has been feeding multitudes, so he was tired and he fell asleep. And while he was sleeping, the devil thought that this is an opportunity to sink the boat. While he's sleeping, let's kill him. He forgot that he cannot kill the resurrection and the life. And suddenly the boat began to fill with water. Now, if Jesus had not been in the boat that day, in spite of all the expertise of Peter at being a fisherman, that would have been the end of Peter. But Jesus was in the boat. I pray that he will be in your boat as from tonight. All he has to do, of course, is what he did. When they woke him up, he spoke one word, peace. Because he's the Prince of Peace. And there will be peace in your home from now on in Jesus' name. When you read Isaiah 43, verse 2, Isaiah 43, verse 2, Jesus Christ said, when you pass through the waters, they won't overflow you because I will be with you. He said, when you pass through the fire, it won't burn you. Now, if you read that passage very carefully, it didn't say, if you pass through fire. He said, when. In other words, whether we like it or not, at one stage or the other in our lives, we are going to pass through fire. The world is not a bed of roses, like somebody said. But if Jesus is by your side, when it is your turn to go through the fire, you will come out on the other side bright as gold. And if you don't believe me, ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they threw them into the fiery furnace, those who threw them in, those who did not have God with them, they perished. But when they landed, the fourth man was waiting. He'll be waiting by the time you get home. And they came out of the fire only to be promoted. So those of you who are passing through fire now, congratulations. Because when you get out of that fire, promotion is waiting. Yeah. Hallelujah. And then the axe head fell into the river. And the young man who was holding the axe head cried. That one is a lesson in itself. He cried. See, there are many of us, particularly in the civilized world, when it is time to pray, we pray like ladies and gentlemen. Let's call on the Almighty God. We say, well, God is not deaf. Let's pray quietly. I mean, before we speak, he hears. Well, when real trouble comes, you will cry. Now, all of us who are claiming to be ladies and gentlemen, those of us who are so civilized that butter will not melt in our mouth. When we go to watch a football game, we shout. We forget our degrees then, particularly if it's our team that is winning. And then I've always said one thing. If you really need help from God urgently, you better open your mouth when it's time to pray. He said, call on me in the day of trouble and I will answer you. He didn't say mama. He didn't say whisper. He said call. And if somebody is some distance away from me, even though you say it is local call here, you still have to call. Local call or no local call. And I've always said that if there are three gentlemen involved in an accident and you take them to the emergency ward of a hospital, three of them, highly educated, you know, trained in the best university in Israel, and they saw the doctor coming, and the first one said, and the doctor knows that I need help. I won't be in the emergency ward if I don't need help. So he will come to me, and he kept quiet. The second one said, I am in pain. I think I will tell the doctor I need help. But, you know, because of my PhD, I will talk very gently. Doctor, there is someone here who needs help. Okay, doctor.
And the third fellow says, "Doctor, help!" That today is not the day for grammar. I need help. Who's going to get the first attention? Let somebody shout, "Help, Jesus!" This young man cried. There was no pretense. He said, "Alas, Master." Now, let's take those two words quickly. If all he said was, "Alas," that would have been the cry of the hopeless. When somebody has no hope, he will say, "Alas." Because when you consider the situation of what had happened, the ass head falling into the bottom of the river is a hopeless situation. But thank God, if you have Jesus Christ, you are never hopeless. Colossians 1:27 says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." There is hope for every child of God. It doesn't matter what is happening. Even if you have no other hope at all, at least you have the hope that Jesus is coming again. And when he comes, all your problems then will be over. Do I hear amen to that? But this boy did not say "alas" only. He said, "Alas, Master." That changed the whole picture because he's now transferring the problem to the Master. So "Alas, Master" is not the cry of the hopeless, but the cry of the desperate. Somebody who had a big problem that has someone who could solve the problem, and he turned to him desperately. "Alas, Master." David said, "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth." "Alas, Master." That was the cry of the desperate. The cry of somebody like blind Bartimaeus by the roadside, who heard that Jesus was passing by, and he cried unto him. They told him to shut up. The Bible said he cried a lot more because he was desperate, because he knew that he may never have another opportunity. Jesus may never pass by again. And if you study the scriptures very well, that was the last time Jesus passed by Jericho. So if Bartimaeus had missed it that day, he would have remained blind forever. I don't know when another opportunity like this will come your way. But if I were you, tonight I will hold on to Jesus. Tonight I will get my miracle. Why don't you tell your neighbor, "Tonight is my night"? Say it as if you mean it. Mm-hmm. It was a cry of someone who was desperate. And when you read Matthew 15, from verse 21 to 28, Matthew 15, 21 to 28, you find another case of a desperate person. There was a woman. The daughter was grievously vexed of the devil, and she came to Jesus. "Please, Master, have mercy on me. I'm not asking for myself. I'm asking for my daughter. My daughter is being tormented by the devil." The Bible said Jesus didn't answer him a word. And the woman kept on crying. The woman didn't say, "I will be a lady and talk gently." She kept on crying. She made so much noise that the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Send her away. The noise is disturbing us." Jesus Christ said, "I'm sent only to the lordship of the house of Israel. I can't give the bread of children to dogs." The woman said, "Whether you call me a dog or not, I'm going to get my miracle." She came, fell at his feet, worshipped him, and said, "I'm not asking for bread, I'm asking for a crumb." And just a crumb from the Almighty God will set you free from all your problems. Just a crumb is enough for deliverance. This woman was desperate. So even when she was called a dog, she accepted being a dog, and she got a miracle. There might be one or two people here tonight who are desperate. When you are desperate enough, you will always get your miracle. Oh, I know that. When you see two people praying, you know those who are desperate and those who are not. I mean, if you have a good job, you have, not quite a million shekels, but maybe about 200,000 or so, and then it is time to pray, God bless me, but if you don't, there's no problem, I can manage. But when you don't know where the money for your rent is coming from, then you will know how to cry to God. People asked me, one of the newspapers in London interviewed me once and said, how come so many miracles are happening in Africa and we are not seeing so many in Britain? I said, the answer is clear. In Britain, you have all the doctors, you have all the hospitals, drugs are there, and there are all kinds of social welfare or whatever. But where I come from, in the hospital there are no doctors. They've all gone to Saudi Arabia. You get to the hospital, there are no drugs. I mean, so when somebody is sick, there's only one way out, Jesus. So when you know that unless Jesus does something, you are dead, you will pray. They won't have to beg you to have faith. You have faith compulsorily. How many of you are going to receive your miracles tonight? Let me hear you shout hallelujah. The young man cried and said, alas, master, I'm in real trouble because this axe was borrowed. It's not even my own. I borrowed it. And then Elisha turned to the young man and said, where fell it? Tonight, when it is time to pray, God is likely to ask you a question and say, what do you want? And I beg you tonight, tell him exactly what you want. This is a very special night. I am sure you know it yourself. It may never happen again that we have this very same group of people gathering together. It may never happen again. So when God asks you what you want, tell him exactly. Tonight is not the night when you say, God, just bless me. No. Tell him exactly what you want. You know, in Mark 11 verse 23, the Bible says, if you have faith and you doubt not, you shall say to this mountain, not just any mountain, this mountain, this particular mountain. When it is time for you to pray, tell God what is your particular mountain. Because what I want is likely to be different from what you want. Somebody may need a new job. Another one may be looking for a husband. Another one may be looking for a second child. I've had all kinds of prayer requests. I've had someone who said, God, thank you because you have given me 4 boys. I want a girl. Another one is saying, God, I have 4 girls. Give me a boy. And another one is saying, I don't even have one. Just give me one. Whether it is boy or girl. Where fairly, tell me exactly what is your problem. You know the story very well. When they brought Bartimaeus to Jesus, even though Jesus could see that this man was blind, he was a beggar, he was in rags, he still asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Anybody would have said, how could you ask that question? This man is blind. All he wants is that to open his eyes. That may not be what he wants. Maybe what he wants is a big offering. And after all, when he was coming to Jesus, he threw away his garment. Maybe what he wanted is a new garment. When it is time to pray tonight, please pray specifically. And God will surprise you in Jesus' name. All right. Now, so the young man there said, this is the spot. This is where it fell. And then Elisha cut a tree and threw it in. Now, anybody who has ever been to the riverside before will tell you that if you cut a tree, a piece of wood, and you throw it on the river, it's most likely to float. The iron is the one that will sink. But this piece of tree that was thrown into the river is a different one. A special hand has touched it. And that's why tonight I'm rejoicing with you. Because I brought with me some special hands. And they are going to touch some people tonight. When the special hand touched that tree and the piece of wood went into the river, that which is supposed to float sank. That which was supposed to sink floated. That tells you one thing. Our God is able to reverse the irreversible. Oh, God can cancel every law, or at least suspend every law for a while. The law of gravity says iron must sink, wood must float. God said, all right, let's reverse it. Iron, you float. Wood, you sink. God is going to surprise somebody here tonight. In John 11, verse 39 to 44, John 11, verse 39 to 44, the Bible says, Jesus said, take away the stone. That was when he was standing by the graveyard of Lazarus. The sister said, sir, by now he is thinking. It's too late. He's not only dead, he has decomposed. Jesus Christ said, don't you know who is talking to you? I am the resurrection and the life. I can reverse the irreversible. You know, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, a lot of miracles happened. Everything that had already decomposed, he put them back again. He reversed all the laws. Then he brought that man out alive. And while he was bringing him out alive, you know, in the same process, he healed the original sickness that killed him. Otherwise, he would have been out for a day or two and back again after 2 days. Our God can reverse the irreversible. That's why I believe that those opportunities that you believe you have lost forever will be reversed today. Amen. Oh yes, all those blessings that the enemy has stolen from you that you think are lost forever, God will return them to you today. Amen. But then I said, a special hand touched the piece of wood. What was so special about the hands of Elisha? It is simply that those hands were anointed hands. When the Almighty God is dwelling in you, and I pray that if he's not dwelling in you already, he will dwell in you tonight. Everything that comes from the inside of you will have a trace of him there. Your sweat will contain power. So it was that anointing that flowed from the inside of Elisha onto the piece of wood that got into the river and performed a miracle. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, Isaiah 10, verse 27, it says, anointing destroys the yoke. I pray that tonight, when the men of God come around to lay hands on you, every yoke in your life will be destroyed in Jesus' name. And when you read Acts 19, verses 11 and 12, Acts 19, verses 11 and 12, the Bible tells us about how the handkerchiefs of Paul was healing the sick. And what's so special about those handkerchiefs? They had come in contact with the body of a man who had God dwelling in him. Those handkerchiefs were anointed. But you see, there are two major things now that I want to say, and I will be concluding very soon. It was Elisha that caught the tree that he threw into the water, not the son of the prophet. What does that one tell you?
The moment you hand your problem over to God,
let God do the rest. Do I hear you say amen to that?
The Bible says in James chapter 5 verse 7, James 5 verse 7, he said, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Once you transfer the problem to God, let God finish it. The problem with many of us is that after we have prayed, we say we want to help God.
God can solve all problems. He doesn't need your assistance.
Oh, the problem with my eyes. If only God will help me solve the problem with my eyes.
What is the problem with your eyes that is so important to God?
How many eyes
do you think he's creating every day? The one who is creating millions of eyes for new babies all over the world every day. And now you want him to repair your eye and you think it is a big deal to him?
Put the problem on the Almighty God and go to sleep.
I mean, some years ago I was on a cruise. And then all of a sudden there was a storm. We were in the Mediterranean. And the storm was terrible. I mean, the ship was very big, a very mighty ship. I can't remember now whether 12 or 13 decks. Very big thing. But the storm was so terrible that the sea was just tossing the thing up and down, tossing it up and down. And it got so bad that the captain called every one of us together and said, well, don't worry. When we talk about storms, they are graduated from 1 to 12, 1 being very little, 12 being very terrible. And he said, right now we are only on number 9. And he said, don't worry. You know, what do you expect him to say? But stay in your cabins and, you know, don't worry. There are worse storms.
I go back to my cabin. I said, God, what am I going to do? Scale 9.
And the Lord spoke to me. It's good to hear God's voice. And I'm sure some of you are already hearing him now.
He said, son, when there was a storm in my own boat, what did I do? I said, the Bible said you slept. I said, then go to sleep.
And I'm telling you, I just climbed on the bed and slept. When I woke up, there was no storm anymore.
Once you transfer the problem to God, once you pray tonight, just leave the rest to him.
Remember, he's more than sufficient. He's the all-sufficient one. Amen. Because he says, when you pray, you must pray in faith. He said, if you waver, then you won't get anything. The word of God says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, Hebrews 11 verse 6, he said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And you don't want to be like the people who limited the Holy One of Israel. Our God is unlimited. Now, after the axe head floated, Elisha now turned to the young man and said, well, I have done what you cannot do. But what you can do now, you do it. That's your ass head floating there, swimming. That's the way King James put it. It was swimming. Reach out your hand and bring it to yourself. The Almighty God has brought me here all the way from Africa. And I can assure you, wherever I go, he goes with me. And I believe he brought me here tonight for one particular person. Are you sure? Now, your miracle is floating. It's now up to you to reach out and take it. How many of you will take your own today? Let me hear you shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah. before
I ask you to pray,
and before I call on the ministers who had come with me to come and minister to you, I'll be failing my duty if I don't tell you one important truth. Knowing the story that I mentioned earlier on of a woman who came to Jesus Christ saying, "My daughter is grievously vexed of the devil," Jesus said, "I cannot give the bread of children to dogs." I'm not the one who wrote the Bible. And the Bible is the word of God. It's forever settled. In that single statement, one thing is clear. The whole world can be divided into two groups of people. Those who are children of God and those who are dogs. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm sorry. You are not a child of God. Because the Bible says, "To as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called sons of God." Now, if you are not a child of God, it also follows that you are what? A what? A dog. You said it. But it's the truth anyway. The joy of it, however, is this. That if a dog comes to Jesus Christ and says, "I want to become a child," he will give that dog power to become a child of God. Miracles are children's bread. Healings, deliverance, fruitfulness, promotion, prosperity, they are blessings that God had reserved for his children. So tonight, if you are not yet born again, if you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, before he begins to distribute the miracles, you have to surrender to him. Otherwise, you will come, you will say, "What a beautiful program." You will hear testimonies of what God had done for other people, but then you will say, "How come nothing happened to me?" It will not be the fault of God. It will be your fault. But you can decide right now that, "Lord, I want to receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I want to surrender my life to you." And he will receive you warmly. He promised, "Whosoever will come unto me, I will no wise cast out." Shall we bow our heads, please? Now, those of us who are already sure, absolutely sure, that we are born again, that we are children of the living God, I want you to begin to pray, to intercede for those who are yet to surrender their life to Jesus. I say, "God, every one of them today, let them surrender their lives to you. Begin to intercede for these people." And then if there's anyone who will say, "Pastor, please pray for me. I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I want to become a child of God, but I want my sins forgiven. I want you to please pray for me." If there's anyone like that, will you please raise your hand wherever you are seated? God bless you. 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 Oh, I can see so many hands. Thank God for that. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, maybe we should do it this way. Those of you who are lifting up your hand, why don't you just come to the front? Say, "I want to pray for you first." Come, come, come in front of me. Those of you who are lifting up your hand, just stand and come. Come, if you really mean business, if you want to give your life to Jesus, come here, come, come. Come and stand in front of me. I want to pray for you. Oh, thank God for your life. There are so many of you coming. This is wonderful. Glory be to God. Just tell the people to let you pass and come, 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 come. Glory be to God. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. This is your day, this is your day. It means this is your night. This is your night of salvation. Glory be to God. Come. Come from all over the place. I wait a little for you. And the rest of all, let's keep praying for them as they come, that the Almighty God will save their souls tonight. That God will have mercy on them. That every one of them will become a true child of God today. Oh yes, keep coming. Keep coming. God bless you. Any other person? If you want to surrender your life to Jesus, come now. Come quickly. The Lord is waiting. He wants to save your soul tonight. He wants to be merciful unto you.
And as you come now, begin to pray to him. Begin to talk to the Almighty God and say, I have come. I have come that you might have mercy on me. I have come that you might save my soul. I have come to surrender my life to you. I have come to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Please, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Wash me in your blood. Wash away all my sins. And become my Lord tonight. Become my Savior tonight. Begin to call on him now. Pray in your own language. Pray in your own tongue. Call on him and say, Lord, I have come to you. I need you. I want my soul to be saved. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to surrender my life to you. I want you to become my Lord. I want you to become my Savior. Yes, talk to him for another minute or two. And the rest of all, let's lift our hands. Let's stretch our hands towards these people and begin to pray for them. Let's begin to intercede on their behalf. Let's ask God to save their souls. Please pray for them, brethren. This is an awesome moment. You can see so many souls coming to Jesus Christ. Pray for them that God will be merciful unto them. That God will save their souls. That he will wash them in his blood. Pray for them, brethren. Thank you very much. Intercede on their behalf. That their salvation will be genuine. That they will be truly saved tonight. That they will become true children of the living God. Pray that from today they will be completely committed to Jesus Christ. Never to go back. Pray for them, brethren. That they will know the joy of salvation today. That as they've come to taste the Lord, they will find that God is true. They will find that God is faithful. Pray for them. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, thank you, Father. Save their souls, Lord. Blessed, blessed, blessed be your name, Lord. Every one of them, let them be saved, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, I just want to thank you. I want to bless your holy name for your word that has gone forth this evening. I want to thank you for this harvest of souls. I want to thank you because your word says, no man can come to me except my Father draws him. Thank you for drawing these people. And thank you that they have not refused your drawing. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Now they have come to you, Father. You said, whosoever will come unto you, you will no wise cast out. Now that they have come, Father, receive them in Jesus' name. Have mercy on them in Jesus' name. Save their souls tonight in Jesus' name. Your blood that cleanses from all sins, let the blood wash away all their sins in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that as from today, their names will be written in the book of life. And that they will never go back from you. So that for the rest of their lives, they will be true children of the living God. Enjoy all the blessings of a child of God. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Thank you, my Father. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. It is time for you to cry to God. Now, if you haven't lost anything, then you don't need to cry. But if you've lost your health, if you are not as healthy as you used to be, cry, and God will reverse the irreversible. If you've lost your joy, lost your promotion, lost your peace, lost your fruitfulness, if things are not exactly the way you want them to be, this is the time to cry to God. Yeah. So if you don't mind, can we just stand on our feet and cry to the Almighty God and tell him exactly what you want from him tonight. Go ahead, pray now. Forget the fellow on your right. Forget the fellow on your left. Open your mouth and cry to the Almighty God. Say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me tonight. Help me. I need help in this particular area. I need healing, Lord. I need progress. I need promotion. I need prosperity. I need victory. I need joy. I need your anointing, oh Lord. I need success. I want to go from victory to victory. Help me, Lord. Help me. Cry to him. Ramoko Sharama. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, I want to thank you because I know you are here. I want to thank you because your healing power is already flowing. Oh, Lord, I thank you for all those people with bone problems that are receiving their healings now. Yes. Father, I thank you for that tumor that is dissolving now. Yes. Father, I thank you for that child of God that is receiving a new set of eyes. Oh, my Lord, I bless your name for your child who is receiving a new heart. Yes. Oh, Father, I bless your name.
Yes.
I bless your name for that person that I've been told that I never have a child. And you said 9 months from now she will be laughing.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank you, Father, because you said promotion cometh. Thank you for that person who had been denied promotion 3 times.
Yes.
And you said you will promote the fellow fast so that the lost ground will be regained.
Yes.
Oh, Father, I bless your name. My Lord and my God, I want to thank you for all your children. Every prayer they have prayed now, Father, I pray that each one will become a testimony. Before we go out of here tonight, let every prayer become a testimony. Your children are coming now, Lord God Almighty. Your ministers are coming to minister to these people. I pray that as they touch them, their faith will be released and their miracles will come. Father, let it be so in Jesus' name. Right now, as I pray, my Father and my God, let your Holy Spirit descend heavily upon this entire auditorium. And let the kind of miracles we have never seen before begin to happen. And when you've done it all, Father, take all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Now, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, because you sent me, I stand today before you as your representative unto these people. Whatever I say now, Lord, let it be so in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Into all these hands, Lord, that are lifted up to you, I speak your blessing. I speak your prosperity.
Amen.
I speak your victory.
Amen.
I speak your success.
Amen.
I speak your promotion.
Amen.
I speak, Lord God Almighty, as your representative, and I say that anything these hands will touch from today will prosper.
Amen.
I speak, Lord, concerning this your children, that wherever they turn, ways will be opened unto them.
Amen.
That wherever they go, they will find favor with God. They will find favor with men.
Amen.
That it will be well with them.
Amen.
It will be well with them in the morning.
Amen.
It will be well with them in the afternoon.
Amen.
It will be well with them in the evening.
Amen.
It will be well with them in the nighttime.
Amen.
It will be well with them every day.
Amen.
It will be well with them all the days of their life.
Amen.
And these hands that are lifted to you now, Father, I pray not a single one will be found wanting in your kingdom.
Amen.
So shall it be.
Amen.
So shall it be.
Amen.
So shall it be.
Amen.
So shall it be. So shall it be. So shall it be. So shall it be. For so we decree in the mighty name of Jesus. Now with your hands still raised and your eyes closed, I want you now to begin to thank God and begin to bless him for what you have already received today. And just begin to praise him. Begin to magnify his holy name. Begin to praise God now.